Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bank Marketing Podcast. We're certainly glad to have you with us today. We're very excited about a really great show today. Have got a great guest that Dan and I have been excited about having. So we're super glad to have you with us. Did want to remind you to please jump over to your podcast platform and subscribe if you haven't already. And we'd love to have you for this and in future episodes as well. So thanks for joining us today. Dan, good to have you.
Yeah.
Yep. And Shannon, glad to have you with us today.
I'm glad to be here. I enjoyed visiting with you guys and seeing you guys in action. I've seen the podcast. You do a great job.
There you go. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Well, super. Well, so let me introduce you, Shannon, for all of our listeners here. So Shannon Aker is the president of the Bank of Brookhaven in Brookhaven, Mississippi, which is about an hour south of the Jackson area. He's been at Bank of Brookhaven for 21 years and has over 35 years of banking experience. Shannon is a graduate of University of Mississippi and the Mississippi School of Banking. He recently completed a term on the board of directors for the Mississippi Bankers Association and has been involved in leading numerous community improvement organizations over the years. Shannon, you grew up in Memphis, and yeah. You and your wife, Robin, who's a local girl there, if I have that right. You guys have two grown daughters who married, so your son-in-laws, and between them have three grandsons. So a lot of good family there.
That's right. My father was a lot bigger than me, so I married a local girl. I can't take her out of here, so I decided I better stay.
Good rule of thumb. Smart man. I love it. Yeah, so a little bit of overview of the bank for our listeners. So Bank of Brookhaven is a little over $230 million in assets and have accomplished record earnings, which we'll talk about that a little bit more over the last several years. Last year, you had $2.8 million in earnings on $233 million in assets with just one headquarters location. So that's a great year, and congratulations on that.
Thanks.
So, and Shannon and Bank of Brookhaven have been a great client of my agencies, of Agora Eversoles, for the last, Shannon, it's been 7 years. Almost 7 years. Hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've worked together on web design and management and SEO and social media management and lots of design and advertising services and all that. So, man, really great to have you with us today, Shannon.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about what you guys have done for us, what y'all brought to the table for us. And it's been a great partnership over these last 7 years. Seems like a couple of years, but that's always, I guess, a way to know it's been a good thing. It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
That's right.
Yeah, it's and we haven't worked together before this. I'm the first time I'm meeting you, but it's great to do so. And I'm excited to kind of dive in today. But I have to ask about the 2.8 million. It's a pretty impressive stat. Can you talk a little about what you kind of attribute that to?
You know, Dan, it's kind of crazy. You know, there we had PPP happening last year, so that was a little bit of it. And you know, we were a bank that had never done an SBA loan. We just kind of made a decision years ago. We didn't want to do those type of loans. And then when that happened, we kind of got one of our guys, our COO got involved and really plugged us in, and we were making them quicker than our bigger competitors were and getting them closed fast. We were able to get all of them, of course, paid off and off the books, but that was part of it. And then, you know, there was grant money out there, but really for us, our little town, about 35,000 in the county, about 12,000 in the city limits. And about 10 years ago, a group of folks, we were kind of involved in this, decided, you know, downtowns are dying around Mississippi in a lot of small towns. What can we do? How can we save our downtown? So we got real plugged into lending money in our downtown area, restaurants. We have some boutique hotel that's real unusual, some loft apartments. So, you know, we had a lot of loans last year in our community, obviously, that were tied to what was going on here. So that was a big part of it. You know, we're a little conservative as far as our decision making. We've never had a foreclosure. We've been close a couple of times, but that's almost unheard of. But that really goes along with what we do with working with our customers. I mean, the ditch, the ox is going to get in the ditch at some point if you're in business. And you've got to be able to work through that with your customers and not come at them from an adversarial standpoint, but really as a partner and not forget you're a partner. And that's kind of been what's really been our philosophy. It's helped us over the years.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's a... You've summed up, I think, what we as like bank marketers try to do is get the stories out of like, what's the difference between working with a community bank and working with a really big entity. I mean, that's it right there is, you know, we, I'm sure, I know Chris, your clients did too. And over the pandemic, just the really big entities made it, you know, a lot harder to get for small businesses to get PPP loans, and community banks stepped in. So it's great to hear your kind of riding that wave and, you know, even expanded your lending capabilities from it.
Yeah. It's a changing world, man. Every day, as you know.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll talk about it a little more, but certainly the pandemic has made it all the more so, hasn't it? It really has.
Yeah.
So, well, Shannon, before we go too far into bank marketing and the bank world and all that, let's pause for just a second. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your career path, your success path.
Well, it's crazy. I grew up in Memphis. And loved it, and went to Ole Miss. I was on the 5-year program, you know, I crammed 4 years into five, and I was a journalism major. But while I was in college, I had two different banks approach me about working while I was in school, and I thought that was strange, but I didn't take that route at the time. I went ahead and got my degree and got out of school and was working in Memphis for a little while, and another banker approached me that was just a friend of mine. And I thought maybe there's something to this. And I came to Brookhaven and got into banking with a community bank, much like our bank, that has since sold to a couple of different people. But they're currently a Bank Plus bank, which is a great organization. But I just knew if I was going to do it, I wanted to do it where I could have say-so, where it wasn't somebody in another town or another state telling me how I was going to treat my customers and clients in my hometown. So that's really what led me to community banking. And I had a good role model in my boss, Bill Soans, who was kind of the same way. He was a car guy and got into banking. And it just helped me understand that it's really a different world when you're a community bank as opposed to a bigger box type bank.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you mentioned before your county is about 35,000 people. Brookhaven itself is about 10,000. So
yeah.
Is that you kind of think, how do you think about the customer base that you serve? Is it just by that county line, or?
Well, it's unique in that we're the only town in the county. You know, someplace in Mississippi, you'll have two or three different counties, towns in the county, communities. And we've got four county schools. We've got one Brookhaven High School and a private school. So you got a lot of moving parts within our town, but really just one town. And so that kind of has been our market area. We've got relationships in other states with people that maybe have ties to Brookhaven that we can do some stuff for, whether it's an investment property or a vacation home type thing. But, you know, we're basically Lincoln County as our market. We butt up to a couple of counties where we kind of bleed over. And, you know, the thought of branching is entered our mind too in some of these other counties. But, you know, right now we're still growing our bank and really feel like we're still, you know, growing and momentum still building. So we haven't branched out yet.
What are your, so it sounds like loans, SBA loans are kind of quickly becoming a strength, a specialty of yours, but what, you know, how else, what other services do you think of as your specialties?
We're mostly a commercial bank, a commercial lending bank. We have some consumer loans, obviously, like anybody does, but the strength that we would say we have is that our customer relationships are real strong. We're real strong with our county and city government, and our school systems are real important to us. And we had a situation with our county school a couple of years ago. They bid the money every year, and we didn't get the bid 1 year. And another bank got it. They were real aggressive. They were too aggressive. They overpriced it. So when the next year rolled around, it came time to bid again. They didn't want the account. And basically, we're seeing a lot of towns where you have public money, nobody wants to pay high rates on deposits. So you're not having a lot of interest from a bid standpoint. I went to that county bid, even though really nobody was bidding. And we did put in a bid, but basically not to pay much on the deposits. But just the fact that we came after we had lost a bid the year before And we're the only one that showed up because we're the only local bank. And I felt like, hey, that's important for us to be there. I was able to answer some questions for them, help them make some decisions and kind of get a strategy about, hey, how do we, we've never been in this world before where nobody wants our money. So how do we deal with that? So right. You know, I was able to kind of listen and talk them through some things, but that's kind of how we feel like we're different is that we're really engaged in our community. We don't just say we are. We're at events all the time, weekends, weeknights. You know, we try to be plugged in everything.
Yeah, that's great. Let's let me play off that a little bit and talk sort of switch into marketing a little bit. But how do you, you know, a lot of banks I know struggle to just define what's different about them. And I think every bank I've worked with, like, there's always something unique, but it takes some effort to sort of tease that out and you know, make it part of your marketing effort. But what how have you kind of, you know, use that in marketing? What are you hoping to achieve with marketing this year?
You know, it's funny. I went to a bakery yesterday in town, in our downtown, and I walked in and a guy that I don't really know him said our slogan to me and said my name. and our slogan is, it's all about you. And he said that to me and said my name. And I went and talked to him a little bit, but you know, that's kind of what it's about. You want people to know who you are, know what your bank is and kind of what it's about. And as a journalism major, I was more tuned into that maybe than I would have been as a business or accounting major, maybe. So we got really involved here in doing some things that our competitors weren't doing. I mean, obviously you guys know it better than I do. Newspaper business is really changed. And a lot of our competitors did stuff in the newspaper. We had a newspaper that was a 6-day a week paper that's now 2 days a week. And it's just not got much in it. We didn't abandon them because they're a client. Now, they sold the newspaper, but they still bank with us. So they do magazines every quarter, and we try to get on the back cover of those type of things. But, you know, we hit the radio pretty hard. At Christmas time, I'll get the Chamber of Commerce director, and she and I'll do ads about shopping at home. We try to take what we do and then kind of focus in on our clients, what I'm hearing in the community that needs to happen. And you guys, when we got up with Chris, you know, we were the train had already left the station. We felt like we had missed the boat on a lot of stuff with our social media. So Chris really quickly brought us up to speed and got us plugged into that area that we kind of had been missing. We had been really heavy in the radio. We got a Super Talk station here that a lot of people listen to. I do Brookhaven High School football games on the radio. And so I do a couple of things during the football season. We have guests on from the community and we try to at halftime visit with people in the community about what's going on. So you just want to try to cover a lot of different areas. And really, you know, the world's changed so much, especially in the last 2 years, you're finding out you got to do things differently. So we were willing to do that.
Well, Shannon, thinking a little bit further about what you were just saying as well, too, it's this balance between traditional advertising and marketing and moving into the digital age. And right. I say digital is all things screen facing. Targeted digital ads, SEO, social media advertising, you know, all of the above. Talk a little bit more about your thoughts about balancing that. Because I know as your agency, one of the things that you guys have been emphatic about with us is today you've already talked so much about being community centered and community centric. And that's true. So some of your traditional falls into that, but we want to balance it with that. So kind of where do you guys see that? Where do you see you guys doing that balance well?
Yeah, and you guys have helped us do that. I mean, if I go somewhere, we do something, make a presentation, or I see something happen, I can snap a picture of that on my phone, send it to y'all, and next thing you know, we're posting that. And it's getting likes, it's getting shared. And as y'all know, that's what you want to have happen. And then people are calling about it or touching base with us about it, and it leads to us continuing to remind people that we're the community bank. You know, life's pretty hectic and banking shouldn't be. That's another thing we like to say a lot. And it's in the world we live in with heavy regulations, you know, that changes from time to time, usually every 4 years or so. But, you know, you got to be able to do something, see it, and then react with it quick. And that's one of the things I think you guys have helped us see as we've kind of gone forward. And I look for us to do more and more things like that and less of the things that maybe we've done traditionally or we used to do. And that's, you know, I think, Chris, your kids, I don't know how old your kids are, but they're probably younger than mine. They'll probably never come in a bank. I mean, maybe a couple of times, but they're taking this right here and doing a lot of things. And so we've got to understand that and embrace that and be ready to make sure that we can give them service through that vehicle, which is their phone or their computer, whatever they're using.
Yeah, and you touched on you made an interesting point a second ago about it's still important to be, it might still be important for your community to be in the newspaper, to be on local radio, but you know, you almost have to start thinking about it a little differently, right? Like maybe it's you're supporting the newspaper, not necessarily advertising, or, you know, a lot of what we try to work with our clients on is do the newspaper ad, but if you're also trying to attract, you know, young families, they're probably not reading the local newspaper. They want the thing on their phone. So think about your audience there. And you just kind of touched on it. Like you need the social is not necessarily just an additional form of advertising, but it's, you're reaching different people. So to figure out your right kind of mix of both is super important.
You know, with the newspaper, really what I do with it now is we get copies of it. We laminate pictures of athletic teams, people getting awards, events that happen that people's kids are in, obituaries when somebody loses a family member. And we send that to them with a personal note or a card, and our employees sign that. So that's a little, you know, that's a personal touch that they're not going to get from a bigger bank. But there's not much news in there anymore because you're getting that quicker here, you know. So the news you get's a couple of days old. But maybe that picture of something they didn't know happened, and you can let them know, hey, I saw that. And I can't tell how many times people have posted on Facebook, I got my stuff from Bank of Brookhaven with my child, you know, in the basketball game. And then people hit on that. Well, I got mine. And all of a sudden, there's 25 likes or 30 comments about it. And that's what you like.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and then, you know, what we've worked with you guys on, and tell me a little bit about how you feel about balancing that across all the spectrums, because like doing your SEO search engine optimization work. So it's that, and it's these local businesses and community members and all that, but they're still looking for, you know, whether it be a consumer loan or a, you know, small business loan or those types of things, and all of these different key areas that you still need to exist at the top of the heap. So while your sign is on the fence on the high school baseball field, you know, and that's key and important. And like you said, I mean, that kind of local touch, Shannon, to clip articles out and to do all that, that still is very tangible and it means a lot to folks. But then if they turn around and Google and you don't even exist, then they assume you're not keeping pace with the new technology that they need. Is that not correct? Yeah. Do you hear a lot of that from your folks?
We do. And that's one of the things that we've talked a lot about is the technology. We've spent a lot of money in the last couple of years, and maybe the pandemic helped us do a little quicker, but we updated all of our teller equipment. We updated our internet banking, our mobile banking. You know, if you can't take a picture of a check and deposit it, that's old news. I mean, we're on down the road from that now. I mean, that's something that you should have already been doing, but you've got to be able to offer the services. You know, somebody can walk in here today and open an account with us, and they walk out with a debit card. We've got their phone ready to go where they can access their account, see their accounts, their loans, whatever it is. Some of our competitors can't do that. Even the bigger ones can't hand them a debit card that day that they made. And if you lose it, all you got to do is call a number. We cancel it and make you new in the next day. So, I mean, that's just people expect things and they have expectations, and you certainly don't want to fall short. You want to exceed those expectations.
Absolutely. And Dan and I have talked about it a lot, Shannon. We work with banks from under 100 million to, you know, several billion in assets and a wide variety of that. But the core of that is what you're describing is that community banking. And we think that's what most of our listeners to this are really geared into. So, you know, do you have some other thoughts about that with your core systems and your online banking? And we know that the utilizations for that have gone up, you know, as you've said, and how that's key to helping you compete?
Yeah, I mean, because the other guys are doing it, you know, they're going to spend the money, they're going to have the resources, and we've got to be that way too. You know, it's funny, Chris, you talked about the pandemic, but I was shocked when that happened, and I was talking to a pastor friend of mine. We were talking about church, not having church, and it was in March, and you know, he had Easter in April, and we're talking about maybe maybe after Easter, we're back in church, and I was laughing. I thought, well, it'd be before that. Man, I was way off about that. But one of the things that we saw and a lot of other banks saw, you had to close your lobbies. You were making appointments for people to come in. They were using the drive-thru. They were using their mobile device. But I had a lot of people, you know, in our client base that had not gone through a drive-thru or not, you know, done a lot of banking from home. So we kind of educated those folks. Well, now guess what? They're not coming back in the lobby. They're still doing it from home, using their phone. So the technology, you've got to be ready to expand that, to grow that, to add to that. And so it's changed us, you know, and how, and I talk to people, other banks all the time that are in the same kind of boat where folks aren't coming back in the lobby. So that changes, what are you going to do with that money that you were spending on that teller? You're going to use that to do some more things you couldn't do before, maybe. So it's been an interesting couple of years.
Did you change your strategy? I'm sure you have investments planned out in customer facing tech, core tech, but you know, through the last couple of years, through the pandemic, have you accelerated things? Have you been forced to kind of change stuff around or do things faster?
You know, we had kind of made a decision about 3 years ago that we were going to do some things and really had made some budget decisions to upgrade some areas. But, you know, we started this bank, it's 20 years ago. So really, you know, every 2 or 3 years, you're adding services, you're changing how you do things from a software standpoint. You know, we're hearing more and more. I talked to somebody yesterday who called me. I've known this lady a long time. She needed $50,000 and she couldn't tell me why. Well, she was being scammed. So that's something that, you know, we didn't have that 5 or 10 years ago where people were getting scammed like they are now with phone calls and emails and all the things that are happening from a digital world, electronic world to try to, and it changes all the time. So, you know, you've got to have systems in place to protect people's information. You've got to be able to lock the bad guys out. And it's a sad thing, but it's happening.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things you've mentioned several times too, Shannon, is continuing to be competitive in today's market. And so now, you know, in more recent years, now we've got the fintechs, you know, coming in and even local presence from mega banks and all that. So looking at Bank of Brookhaven's positioning from a marketing, you know, and a messaging standpoint, you know, how do you see yourself continuing to be competitive? What are some of those key areas?
Well, I think it's knowing who you're competing against. So it used to just be the banks, and now it's a lot of other things that you just mentioned. Credit unions are another big thing that we're dealing with in Mississippi, probably starting to get more of that than we had in the past. But I think knowing what they do and how they do it, and knowing what you do and how you can do it better is kind of what we're kind of focusing on and just seeing that and reminding people what we can do and why they need to be here. You know, you guys know it obviously really well, how you build your image and then you get to a certain point. Well, then you've got to continue to make that known because there's new people coming in town. There's people coming in the business world all the time. They may not have known what you did 2 years ago. So it's important that you continue to make that known to your clients and your community.
Yeah, I think it's interesting talking about mega banks. You know, I say a lot to my clients, like, you're not going to outspend, you know, the top three, top four mega banks, right? You're not even ones that are 2-3 times the size of your bank. You're never going to outspend them in advertising, but you can out connect with them, or you can out connect with your customers in a way that they can't. And you've told a couple stories, great stories here that, you know, are exactly that. Like, you know, they're not making the type of investments in Brookhaven that you are. They, you know, the difference is maybe they have, you know, 150 ATMs in a 1 mile radius, but you know, you have an opportunity to connect with customers that, you know, that care more about that local community, and where that makes a difference.
Right.
Shannon, another thought that I had as we were kind of preparing for this podcast today and thinking about these differentiators between you guys as a community bank and some of the others too. I know full well, because our team works with you guys, is your people. And your people, it's the quality of your folks that that I can tell, you know, are passionate about what you're doing and are also bought in to what you're describing, you know, revitalizing downtown Brookhaven and those kind of things, that it's not just a job, you know, to a lot of them and your loan officers and your, you know, frontline folks and everybody in between. So do you also see that as one of your, I guess, a key differentiator and a superpower for you?
For sure. You know, we meet pretty often and we'll get everybody in our lobby and talk about different things that are happening. And that is the most important thing, that they're with you. And I always tell people, they don't work for me. We work together. They work with me. I mean, you know, we don't succeed without them. We don't succeed without good people. I got a former teacher. I got a pastor's wife. I got a policeman's wife. I've got people. I mean, banking's at the heart of it, banking's a service organization. You're serving people. You're meeting their needs. And if you don't understand that as in any way, any job in banking, if you don't understand that, you're not going to be very good at it, because you're going to listen to them. And that's where I think, you know, I've got a good friend that's a physician. He says, you know, one of his biggest complaints is when he has a patient, the whole time he's typing in what they're saying and not looking at them. I mean, I tell my people, put down a pen, look at them in the eyes. What's going on, good or bad? Tell me what we can do for you. Engage them. Don't just, you know, don't just take the deposit or hear the problem or hear the good news. Stop what you're doing and listen to them and hear what they're saying. Because a lot of times we may hear them, but we're not listening. And that's important. So, yeah, having good people is the biggest part of it to me. And, you know, Chris, I'd say we don't have much turnover. I mean, we started this bank, a group of us, because the bank we were working at that was a local bank sold. We tried to buy it. They agreed to buy it. It was a family. They changed their mind. They ended up selling it for less money than we offered them. We came over and started our bank for a lot less money than it would have taken to buy that bank. And so, you know, that was a huge blessing. But the people we brought with us, few of them have retired, but most of them are still here. And so we try to take care of them. We try to, you know, you're doing life with them. You're not just, you know, 8 hours a day. That's family. And if you can't, you don't enjoy them and don't make it fun for them. You know, we give our employees every year a Christmas shopping day off with pay, their birthday off with pay. A spring break this week is spring break down here. So you get a day off with pay. We still do Christmas bonuses. And those are things you can plan for and you can budget for. I know a lot of our competitors don't do that anymore, but we're able to make that happen and they love it. And so they deserve it.
That's great. Like if you can set up a culture inside your bank that you're connecting with your people are going to be incentivized to connect with the community, which, you know, furthers your mission. And, you know, then layering the marketing perspective on top of it, like that comes through in the marketing. That gives you the unique perspective that, you know, your marketing can tell the story of.
In a small town too, guys. I mean, I know Chris knows this, and Dan, I'm sure you see us too, but if you're somebody's banker, if you're the teller, you're their banker. If you're the lady that opened their accounts, you're their banker. If you're in customer service taking their phone call, you're their banker. If I'm their loan officer, I'm their banker. But that means you're their banker if you run into them in the cleaners or for a restaurant or at the gas station. They may want to tell you something that's going on. So it doesn't stop when you leave the bank. And so I always remind our people, hey, you know, be ready and listening wherever you are. And that's kind of the nature of the business I think we're in.
Oh, yeah. You've got on that Bank of Brookhaven hat wherever you are, even if you're, that's right, at the gas station or sitting in church or whatever the case may be. So,
yeah. And sometimes you may not want to, you may not feel like you want to have it on, but you better.
There you go. That's right. Well, Shannon, this has been great. We've gotten to visit a whole lot, and I think that our audience here has probably gotten to derive a whole lot about this, about what the core of community banking really is, and the messaging and all of that. We've certainly talked some about the different marketing platforms that we utilize and all that, but the essence of it is, as you say, the people behind it, the service behind it, you know, all of those things that continue to differentiate you guys locally there. So we can't thank you enough for sharing a lot about that. That's been really great, and I think very valuable to our folks listening.
Well, I tell you, we've really enjoyed our relationship with you guys, and we do feel like it's a partnership. I mean, I feel like you're a friend and a somebody who's not only invested in our company, but trying to help us be better. But you're listening to us just like we try to do with our clients. And it's been a great ride for us. And I would encourage people out there, I'll be glad to answer any questions about our relationship with you guys, too. If you have a question out there, want to holler at me, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, super. All right. Well, we can't let you go quite yet, because what we do like to do in our podcast is we like to jump over into our lightning round. So we're going to hit you with a few closing questions here, maybe get a little more insight into Shannon and all that. So you good to go with a few questions here?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
All right. So the first one is we always like to ask, give us a business best and a personal best. What comes to mind?
Yeah. I guess the business best would be the last, 8 years, we've been voted the best bank in Brookhaven. They just started doing it 8 years ago, and every year we've been voted the best bank. And that's what we've talked about. It's the people. It's the perception. So that's probably a business best that we like, that we're happy about. And I think a personal best would kind of be tied to that. And I've been elected the best banker every year. Well, I know that's not true. But I know that the way I treat my customers, you know, that matters. So I kind of feel like that's why that happens. So I think if you really do treat you always hear your parents told you, treat people like you want to be treated. That's the golden rule. I really think that's true. And so I think that's probably my personal best too.
Love that. Those are great and interesting how those tie together, for sure. Mm-hmm. So. Well, another one we like to ask, what's a favorite book or resource you want to recommend to folks?
This is crazy. The Pilgrim's Progress. I love that. Okay. But an old book that I got out not too long ago that I read when I first started working in banking, because I came into banking and I basically worked in every area of the bank. I was a journalism guy. I come to the bank and they teach me banking, send me to banking school. So the 1 Minute Manager, when I first got my first branch that I kind of ran, I got that book and I was looking at it the other day, and it's still, to me, a great resource.
Man, that's a great one. Yeah, it's applicable. That was an evergreen, timeless, strategy there. So that's great. That's great. Yeah. All right. So you've been around for a while. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Two things. I had a guy in college that kind of discipled me that told me, you do what you want to do. In other words, you can go into a meeting and you can have all these great plans, but you, at the end of the day, are you going to do it? And usually you do what you want to do. And the other one thing I think about a lot is, it's not about me. You know, we do get caught up in how this is going to affect us. And really, to be successful, it's not about you. You know, it's about what you can do for other people. And I have to remind myself of that a lot, but I think that's two good things that kind of helped me.
And that's definitely come across in this interview, just talking about people. And, you know, I think, you know, as a community banker, that's super important to just constantly, you know, always be thinking about your people, about your community. That's a great one.
For sure. That's great. All right. Well, here's a closing thought. What's something that you always tell your team, kind of a mantra or something you always like to tell folks?
I tell them to listen. You know, a lot of times, I mentioned it a minute ago, we'll sit down with somebody, and usually you get off on a problem with somebody in banking. There maybe it's a family issue, you're trying to help somebody who's trying to help their kid or their parents are in a situation. Listen and try to take in what all's being said. And they may even come in mad at the bank. But if you can listen to them, usually they leave happy. If you can listen to what they're saying and try to put yourself in their position. So I always tell people to listen, to look and to listen.
Man, that's great advice. So too hard to come by in a lot of areas these days, I'm afraid, right? So, well, super. Well, Shannon, this has been great. I know, Dan, you and I had talked about this, and we were excited about having you on the podcast. The books and some of the things that you've mentioned, we'll link to in the show notes for the podcast. And with your offer, we'll put your contact information in there. And if somebody wants to reach out to you, a fellow banker, a marketer, whoever it may be, And we appreciate the opportunity to do that too. So
before I let you go, you know, I'm from Memphis. So everybody has their Memphis story. So I was just going to show you, you know, Elvis, my dad had a barbershop in Memphis and cut Elvis's hair. So you always want to have something you can talk about in your office. So this is my little conversation starter is that. So I know this summer is a big movie coming out about Elvis. And of course, a lot of younger people don't know who he is, but that's my little Memphis story for you. So
man,
thank y'all for being amazing.
There you go. I love that, Shannon. And for folks that are listening and not watching, I will clue them in that that was not a full color picture. That's in fact quite old black and white. That's really cool. So, well, Shannon, it's so great to have you.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Have a great one.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.